Join me in Zechariah chapter 13, and we're going to spend our time mainly in verse 1, but I'd like to read this entire chapter. It's 9 verses long, and we have in here so much said about our Savior as it was brought out during His ministry. In that day, there shall be a fountain opened to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanliness. Amen. And it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord of hosts, that I will cut off the names of the idols out of the land, and they shall no more be remembered. And also I will cause the prophets and the unclean spirit to pass out of the land. And it shall come to pass that when any shall yet prophesy, then his father and his mother that begat him shall say unto him, Thou shalt not live, for thou speakest lies in the name of the Lord. And his father and his mother that begat him shall thrust him through when he prophesieth. And it shall come to pass in that day that the prophets shall be ashamed, every one of his vision, when he hath prophesied, neither shall they wear the rough garment to deceive. But he shall say, I am no prophet. But he shall say, I am no prophet, I am a husbandman, for a man taught me to keep cattle from my youth. And one shall say unto him, What are these wounds in thy hands? Then he shall answer, Those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd and against the man that is my fellow, saith the Lord of hosts. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered, and I will turn mine hand upon the little ones. And it shall come to pass that in all the land, saith the Lord, two parts therein shall be cut off and die, but the third shall be left therein. And I will bring the third part through the fire, and will refine them as silver is refined, and will try them as gold is tried. They shall call on my name, and I will hear them. I will say, it is my people, and they shall say, the Lord is my God. What a wonderful chapter. Now, there's some in here that is hard to be understood, but it is all pointing towards the Lord Jesus Christ. We have here several references to the ministry of the Lord. We have several references here to his end of his life here and his going to the cross on our behalf. He is wounded for our transgressions, but we're going to spend our time tonight in verse 1. In that day there shall be a fountain. Now, someone who can take words and put them in order much better than I can wrote a song from this passage of Scripture. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. What a wonderful statement that man made as he reflects on this passage of Scripture. Well, here it says, in that day. Now, the time is not proximate, but fixed and known to God. Whenever we read these words, in that day, we may not know the day, but the Lord knows that day, and He has it fixed. He has the exact day fixed in His eternal purpose. And we find that Abraham, just turn with me, if you would, over to the book of John, chapter 8, and verse 56. As we find here, the Lord speaks about Abraham. Abraham chapter 8 and verse 56. These words of encouragement for the church. Because in this, we find how he treats us. How he dealt with us. It says, Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. Now, in that day, Abraham saw him. So long ago, Abraham saw him. God dealt with him. God brought him out of Ur of the Chaldees. God brought him out of that religion. God put aside all those idols and brought him out. And it says, your father Abraham. Now, they had him as from a literal lineage. And the Lord Jesus Christ is sharing with us that I dealt with him on a spiritual realm. In that day, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. And he saw it and was glad. The greatest day of his life, and that day continued all of his life and continues to this day as he rejoices in the rich grace that he found in Christ Jesus, as God revealed God to him. In the book of Ezekiel, chapter 16, I think we've been here recently, but we want to go back to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 16, and we find in this passage of Scripture a statement with regard to Israel. Your father was a Hittite and your mother was an Amorite. Now, he goes down through there and lists what kind of birth this was. And in Ezekiel chapter 16, and there in verse 8, let's read that verse of Scripture together. It says in Ezekiel chapter 16, verse 8, "Now when I pass by thee," now he's out in the field, we see this picture, we see this type, we see this shadow of where the Lord finds each one of us. We're in our loathing. We're dead, if you please, dead in trespasses and sin. "When I passed by thee and looked upon thee, behold, thy time was the time of love." Now, that's that day. That day, the time of love, when he walked by, when he saw, "And I spread my skirt over thee and covered thy nakedness. Yea, I swear unto thee and entered into a covenant with thee, saith the Lord God, and thou becamest mine." So in that day, what a glorious day it was, as we find Ezekiel writes about the Lord coming by a people that he's known from eternity, a people whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, a people that he had love for from eternity, a people that he was going to die for from eternity, and said, "When I walked by you, you were dead, but I said live." And it was that day of love. He demonstrated his great eternal love on his people in that day. So as we look at this, we find that this is a place in the book of Zechariah, going back there to chapter 13. I've been in chapter 12 so long. Chapter 13 and verse 1, the scriptures share this: "In that day there shall be a fountain opened." Now, there's three things I'd like to look at in this verse of Scripture. Number one, who is that fountain? Number two, who is that fountain for? And number three, what does that fountain do? And they're all answered in that verse of Scripture. It tells us in there shall be a fountain opened to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. Now, who is that fountain? Well, let us be reminded of a negative side of this that the Lord reminded Israel of. And that's found also in the book of Jeremiah. So if you join me over there in the book of Jeremiah, in the book of Jeremiah chapter 2, we find that Jeremiah, a preacher of righteousness, all of the prophets knew what grace was. They were all sinners saved by grace. And as they gave the message, it was a message that came directly from God. It is not a message, a writing like we do. I wish my lesson plans were inspired, but only the Word of God is. Amen. Now, when we write down a passage of Scripture, that's inspired. We pray that what we have to say about that passage of Scripture is pleasing unto the Lord, that honors Him. That's our goal, is to honor God, to honor Him in His Word and preaching of His Word. Well, here in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 2, we have this said about a fountain that was rejected. It says, "For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me." Now, who's that fountain? It's the Lord. That fountain is the Lord. That's where we go to. We're not going to get salvation any other place. We're not going to find salvation any other place. And no other place is given for our salvation. In that day, they should have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters. And not only have they done that, they've forsaken me, the fountain of living waters. They have gone ahead and built themselves cisterns. It says here, and hewn them out cisterns. Now, that's just like saying every religious denomination and organization in the world is nothing more than a hewn cistern. And what does it say? And can hold no water. There is no help there. There is no deliverance there. There is only that. And by nature, we reject. By nature, we have committed an evil. We've forsaken the fountain of living water. I'm so thankful that by the grace of God, He brings His people to Him. He brings His people to Him. And we have that great delight in Him as our living water. And in the book of John, this is brought up again. John chapter 7. in John chapter 7, as we look at this fountain of living water, they have rejected me, a fountain of living water. And they have hewn out cisterns. Now listen to this over in the book of John, chapter 7, verse 37. John chapter 7, verse 37. The scriptures share this. It says, in that last day of the great day of the feast, you know, there's going to come a time in every one of our lives when God saves us that we're going to have the last day of that. It will be the last day of that. We'll not have that with us anymore. It will be taken away from us. We find that there in the book of Zechariah. I'm going to take care of all the idols. So in the last day of that great day of the feast. Now that was an honorable feast. It was ordained of God. But that's going to be over with. We have one place to feast, and that's in Christ. Jesus stood and cried, saying. Now he's not invited to stand, but he does stand. Why? He's the Lord of glory. He knows what must be said. And he says this, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, is, as the scripture say, hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. So the only one, and he qualifies this, if any man thirst. You know, by nature, we don't thirst after spiritual things. We thirst after everything else, but spiritual things are not on the menu. Why? Because the natural man receiveth not the things of God, for they are spiritually discerned. And we cannot comprehend that. We cannot understand that until after we're born again. We think we know something, and we find out we didn't know anything. Because the scriptures are spiritually discerned. We would look at events as historical. We look at them as good stories, moral stories. And yet, after the Lord saves us, we find out everywhere we look is the message of the redemption that is in Christ Jesus the Lord. How he saves his people from their sins. And so it is. He is that fountain of living water. He is that which we need to come to, but we don't know how to come to until he gives us a thirst to do that. Going back to the book of Zechariah for just a moment, in chapter 14, we're getting ahead of ourselves, but I want to look at chapter 14 because in chapter 14 we have some more of this great gospel message that Zechariah has had from chapter 1 through chapter 14. In Zechariah chapter 14, verse 8 and 9, chapter 14, verse 8 and 9, and it shall be in that day that living waters shall go out from Jerusalem. Half of them toward the former sea and half of them toward the hinder sea. In summer and in winter shall it be. And the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day shall there be one Lord, and his name is one. What unity we have in the Godhead, as is mentioned here. But there's going to be living waters. And, you know, this is going to be brought up in other places that we want to read about. But we find how glorious it is that there is a fountain that is so free and so full and so effectual and so able to take care of the problems. Now, in the book of Ezekiel chapter 47, Ezekiel chapter 47, there is mention of a river of living water, a fountain overflowing. Out, coming out. Now notice this with me. In the book of Ezekiel, chapter 47, and there verse 1. Chapter 47 and verse 1. Now it gives us, to some degree, the depth of this river in this passage of Scripture. It is so phenomenal that we think we know something until we go a little further, and then we find out it's deeper than that. And then we go a little further, and then we find out it's deeper than that. Well, it says, afterward, he brought me again, verse 1, to the door of the house. Who's our house? And who's the door? And behold, waters issued out from under the threshold of the house, eastward, for the forefront of the house stood toward east. And the waters came down from under the right side of the house to the south, side of the altar, and that then brought me out on the way of the gate northward, and led me about the way without unto the utter gate, by way that looketh eastward, and behold, there ran out waters on the right side. And when the man that had the line in his hand went forth eastward, he measured 1,000 cubits, and he brought me through the waters, and the waters were to my ankles. Well, there's enough water there for us to study the rest of our life about the Lord Jesus Christ. But he said, well, as Brother Mike brought in that, let's launch out into the deep. All right. Again, he measured 1,000. And, you know, some people are going to take this literal. Let's just look at this as a picture about the great grace of our God and the great glory of our God and the great salvation of our God and how he depicts it here by living water flowing out from the house through the door. Afterward, he measured 1,000, and it was a river that could, in verse 4, and again he measured 1,000, brought me through the waters, and the waters were to the knees. And again he measured 1,000, and brought me through the waters, and they were to my waist, to my loins. Afterward, he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not pass over, for the waters were risen, waters to swim, a river that could not be passed over. What fullness we have in Christ. What grace we have in Christ. What benefits we have in Christ. When we think we've used them, there are more than we could imagine. And so this river flows out from the Lord. It is continuous. It is a blessing. And in the book of Psalms, let's back up to the book of the Psalms. Who is the fountain? It is the Lord. Here in the book of the Psalms, Psalm 72. Join me in Psalm 72 as we look at this wonderful passage of Scripture. There's a fountain. In that day, there shall be a fountain. Psalm 72, verse 8. And it says, he shall have dominion also from sea to sea, and from the river unto the ends of the earth. They that dwell in the wilderness shall bow before him. His enemies shall lick the dust. The kings of Tarshish and of the isles shall bring presents. The kings of Sheba and Seba shall offer gifts. Yea, all kings shall fall down before him. All nations shall serve him. For he shall deliver the needy. When he crieth, the poor also, and him that hath no helper. He shall spare the poor and needy, and shall save the souls of the needy. He shall redeem their soul from deceit and violence, and precious shall their blood be in his sight. And he shall live, and him shall be given of the gold, and Sheba prayer also shall be made for him continually. Daily shall he be praised. There shall be a handful of corn in the earth, and upon the top of the mountains, the fruit thereof shall shake like Lebanon, and like the city shall flourish like grass on the earth. His name shall endure forever. His name shall continue as long as the sun. Men shall be blessed, and all nations shall call him blessed. There in verse 8, it says, he shall have dominion also from sea to sea, and from river unto the ends of the earth. As he has dominion over his own river. He has direction in which it's going. Now, it tells us which direction it's going. You know what direction it's going? Where the elect are. That's where this river is flowing. He's going out with this river of grace. He's going out with this river about himself. And the gospel that will be preached at the end, as this river passes, will be the same all the way along. That river does not change in its texture, does not change in what it's made up of. It is the same all the way. The same grace that Abel knew is the grace that God gives today. And the gospel that he heard is the gospel that we hear today. Now, this fountain is opened. It has long been opened, but there is an ignorance about this fountain. You know, there's a passage of Scripture. Again, let's go to the book of Genesis. The book of Genesis, it certainly shares with us a truth about this fountain. To most, it is never seen. They never hear about it. They hear about a fountain, but they don't hear about it. There is an illustration made over here in the book of Genesis. You know, Abraham was required to have one of his wives leave. But she is allowed to make an illustration for us here by the providence of God in the 21st chapter of the book of Genesis and verse 19. God opened her eyes. Well, let's back up. Arise, lift up the lad, and hold him in thy hand, for I will make him a great nation. And God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water. Did that well just appear? Did to her. Genesis chapter 21, verse 19. The Lord opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water. And she went and filled the bottle with water and gave the lad drink. That well, that fountain there, was it just created at that moment? No, it's always been there. She just could not see it. And how it is with every one of the lost children, of the lost sheep of the house of Israel. It is impossible to see the fountain. It's impossible to see Christ. It's impossible to see where sin can be taken care of until God opens our eyes. The Lord brought water out of a flinty rock. It looks like so illogical. Human logic cannot deal with it. That there was a big flinty rock, some basalt, let's just put it. And God sent a gushing water out of it that fed, that watered up to 6 million people. I'm getting ready for the message on Sunday, which is about manna. And one man said that there was 96,000 bushels of manna, a small estimate, 96,000 bushels of manna eaten a day by Israel. That's what they found out there. That's what fed them. When this water, we cannot measure it, but it is for all of His people, wherever they are. It gushed out. The Lord opened her eyes. We find that He smote the rock, and that rock was Christ, is what we find in the New Testament. All right, let's go back to the book of Zechariah for just a moment. And we're going to read there in the book of Zechariah, chapter 13. Zechariah chapter 13, as we see again that prophet shares with us, Zechariah chapter 13, verse 1. Says, there shall be a fountain open. Now, who is this fountain open to? Who's going to see this fountain? The Lord knows who's going to see it before the foundation of the world. He says, this fountain is opened to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Now, we are thankful that God has placed many Gentiles under that umbrella. The house of David. What did David say? It's not been good with my house, but He hath made with me an everlasting covenant, both sure and steadfast. Now that's who the house of David is. Those He made a covenant for and on the behalf of, and reveals that in our salvation, that He has made an eternal covenant with us, that we were not entering into it. We are the beneficiaries of it. We did not vote in it. We did not come up and make suggestions, because the Lord knew the desperateness of our situation, that we would not make good choices. Today is not the first time in America, human history, that people are making poor choices. It's always been that way. And we would make poor choices, so He made the choice for us. Now He reveals to us His good choice. What does it say about the Lord? He is my elect. My choice. My choice in the matter. He is mine. And that's where we find ourselves, elect in Christ Jesus the Lord. So who is this fountain for? It's for the house of David. It is the house of David, and it mentions that He made an agreement for and with them. Those who know even the sure mercies of David. Oh, the mercy that God extended to David, a man after mine own heart, a sinner to the core, a practicer of sin, one that really shown his smallness, and yet God had this to say about him: I will not hold your sin against you. It's been paid for. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound, those who have heard the glorious gospel. My sheep hear my voice. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Would you turn with me again to the book of Ezekiel? Back to the book of Ezekiel. So much said in these Old Testament books that are brought out in the New Testament. Nothing new is brought out. There's nothing new in the New Testament. It is found throughout the Scriptures. In the book of Ezekiel, chapter 36. Now, we're not going to read all of this. We read it about three times or four times a week, it seems like. Ezekiel chapter 36, beginning with verse 24. For I will take you from among the heathen and gather you out of all countries and will bring you into your own land. Notice that, how much is covered. I will bring you from among the heathen. Jews and Gentiles all have their start as a heathen. We're no different than Abraham, worshiping idols on the other side of the river. And if you're on the other side of the river, you're worshiping idols on the other side of the river. Then will I sprinkle clean water. You will hear something that you've never heard before. We think we know something. We don't know anything. It's revealed to us. And ye shall be clean from all your filthiness and from your idols will I cleanse you. And the story goes on. The account goes on. The blessings continue on in this great chapter 36 of the book of Ezekiel as God shares his I wills about how he saves his people. And the only thing that we do, the only thing that we bring to the table, the only thing, contribution that we have, is our sin. We have nothing else to bring to the table. We're thankful that there is someone that has taken care of that. In fact, he said, I have a fountain for the house of David and for those of Jerusalem. I have the church in mind when I am opening up this wonderful fountain. The only reason Jesus Christ came to this earth was for his church. The only reason he created the heavens and the earth was for the church. The only reason that Noah ever built an ark was for the church. That is it. He has the church in mind, the glory of the church, and in the glory of the church is the glory of God in redeeming his people from all their sins. So we have who? We have he is the fountain, and we have who is going to be using that fountain. Now, in the book of Zechariah chapter 13 and verse 1, it tells us what is this fountain going to do for the house of David and for the house of Jerusalem, or the people of Jerusalem. What's it going to do? There's going to be a cleansing. It is for a purpose. As we read that, let me get over there again. Book of Zechariah chapter 13 and verse 1. There's a fountain. In that day there shall be a fountain opened to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Now notice this. For sin and for uncleanliness. Now, we'll just sum this up. The Lord covers this subject so many ways in the Scriptures. Different names are used. Different things are said about our position before him in the fall. Here, he uses two terms. One of them is a heart condition, and that's sin. We have a heart condition. We have a heart condition that is so complex we can never figure it out. It is desperately wicked. And then we have the results of that heart condition, and that's what we do with our hands, our feet, our mouth. Uncleanness. It's uncleanness. It is terribly unclean. There's nothing good about it. We cannot produce any good thing about it. We cannot raise ourselves out of the calamity that we're in. So we have the problem, and we have the result of the problem, and that is uncleanness. But did you notice that this fountain takes care of all of it? It says, in that day there shall be a fountain open to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. That's what this fountain is for, is to take care of the problem. It's going to take care of the problem that we had in the fall, and it's going to take care of the problem that we have produced on our own. As sinners before God, it's going to take care of the problem. He is going to deal with that. He will deal with that at the cross. That's the reason he came, is to take care of the church. The book of Daniel, we read this last week, but I want to read it again there in the book of Daniel chapter 9. As we think about this situation, and when the Lord comes, when he came in his right time, as Daniel brings it out there in Daniel chapter 9, verse 24, at the right time he came, at the appointed time he came, we're not going to guess in what month it was. I don't even discuss whether he's born in December or whether he's born in March. That's not the issue. The issue is God came in the flesh, incarnate, for the purpose of laying down his life, a ransom for many. 70 weeks are determined unto the people and the holy city to finish the transgression. Oh, and the church just says, oh my goodness, it's all taken care of. Every bit of to finish transgression, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Well, when the New Testament was completed, there's no need for anything else. It's going to be sealed up. But we notice in here what the Lord Jesus Christ did by his laying down his life a ransom, by his shed blood, by this fountain that he is going to take care of the problem. He's going to take care of sin, and he's going to take care of the uncleanness that comes along with it. Our very nature will be taken care of. Now, through this life, through the rest of this life, we're going to carry around this old flesh. But the promise is made. The down payment has been paid. It has been sealed. We are both children of God, brought into his very presence by the Spirit of God, rejoicing in the message of grace. In the book of Hebrews, jumping way ahead, if you please, the book of Hebrews chapter 9, most of what we say is repetition. Just repeating the same thing over and over. It's been going on that since Moses started the book of Genesis. And as John finished out the final book of the New Testament, the book of Revelation, that message is going on all through that time, and it has not stopped. It will not stop until the last sheep is saved. Lost sheep is saved. And then he will wrap this up. I like saying that. It will be wrapped up. All right, Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 26. We delight in this. For then must he often have suffered. If he's going to be a priest after the order of Levi, he must often have suffered. But since the foundation of the world, but now, once in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself.
Amen.
And the church says, thank you, Lord, to put away sin and the results of sin by the sacrifice of himself. That's what this fountain, that's what Christ is here for. That's why he came, is to take care of the great problem that came as a result of Adam's sin. We don't know the depths of it yet. We only get a shadow of it if we look at Jesus Christ on the cross, what he had to pay in order to set his people free, the payment price. And we cannot even grip that. We cannot grasp it. Great darkness upon the face of the earth. In the book of Revelation, would you go there with me? Revelation chapter 7. Revelation chapter 7. Revelation chapter 7, verse 14. Question has been asked, and John says, and I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said unto me, these are they which came out of great tribulation. Now, that word tribulation has often been applied, or misapplied, I should say. Misapplied. That means great affliction. Tribulation. And I've shared to you with you before, the greatest tribulation I ever had in my life was to find out my religion was worthless. I came close to ending it. It was serious. And by God's grace, a man started preaching the gospel. That was great tribulation. I'd been lied to. They came through great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white. That is illogical. Every time I have a bloody nose and it gets on a white shirt, Nancy's quick to take it off and get it cleaned out. Here, it's illogical. Christ is illogical to the human mind. His way of salvation is illogical to the human mind. Everything about him is illogical. You want to hear logic? Listen to the Pharisees. That's human logic. But illogic. He said here, out of every, came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth upon the throne shall dwell among them. And they shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them into the living fountains of water. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Lead them to the fountains of water. How glorious. He does this in our life. He doesn't wait for us to die and then we wake up in heaven or hell. It's going to be something he does for us in this life. Great tribulations, great problems, but they have this as their answer, as what God has done for them. So, we have a fountain. His name is Jesus. We have a fountain for some people. Family of David and Jerusalem. It was never intended for anyone else. Now, I will never tell anybody that they're not in that number. We preach to people as if they're all Jacob's. We talk to people as if they're all Jacob's. That's the business of God. But we know that if God does not save them, if he doesn't give them the fountain, if they're not in that host, he didn't die for them. He didn't waste his blood. He didn't die for them. And then we find, what does it take care of, that fountain? Sin and uncleanness. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and the church delights in that fountain.